Let us pray before we get started here with the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that I would speak the words that you want me to say. Lord, when I first got the phone call and asked to fill in once again, I really wasn't sure what I was going to share. And Lord, as I prayed about it and started to think and do some reading and things, Lord, this message came, and I feel that it is truly the message that you wanted to share with your people this morning. Lord, I think that it wasn't by accident that Roger and Penny didn't make it back. I think it was by your purpose that I would be here and speaking once again, Lord. And I take it as a great honor and privilege to be able to share your word with your people, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would be with me as I share this message, Lord. And I just thank you for all your many blessings. I thank you for the ability to be here this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Message this morning, it has a little bit of a different title than probably what maybe used to. The title of my message is, Are You a Stalker of Jesus or Are You a Friend of Jesus? If you go and look up the definition of a stalker, the first definition is a person who harasses or persecutes someone with unwanted and obsessive attention. Oftentimes, when we think of somebody that's a stalker, we think of somebody that's following somebody that's famous. They really don't have any physical connection with them, but they want to know all about them. They study them. They follow them from afar off. They know their habits, but yet they don't have a personal relationship with them. They just know things about them. Or in some incidences, it's a relationship that was broke up, that they're no longer together, and one of them really just doesn't want to end the relationship. They're not satisfied with that, and they continue to stalk that person, follow their every move. There's also a second definition of a stalker is a person that hunts game stealthily. And for hunters, we can relate to that. We spend a lot of time studying the animal that we want to hunt. We figure out where they go to sleep, where they travel, where they're feeding, what kind of feed they're eating at the time. And we consider that all part of the hunt. We do those different things to add to our success that we can be able to hunt that animal that we want. In Matthew 12, chapter 12, verses 9 through 14, you can see that the Pharisees knew about Jesus and the Word of God. They knew him very well. They knew the Word of God very well as well, and they followed it very closely. So close that oftentimes they added to the Word of God to create extra laws and things. They were so worried about following the Word of God and the laws that they were concerned about Jesus, that he wasn't following it completely. They thought that they were fake. They seen in this scripture here, they challenge him. He comes in and there's this man, he has a crippled hand. And they ask him, is it okay to heal this man because you weren't allowed to do anything on the Sabbath? And Jesus relays to them that, you know, if a man had a sheep and it fell into a pit, wouldn't you go and rescue that sheep? And how much greater this man is in his hand. And he heals the hand. And then at that time, the Pharisees decide that they think they want to destroy Jesus because here he is, he's coming and healing and doing all these things, and it's hurting their image because they were more concerned about the law than they were concerned about the person. Whether it was the person with the crippled hand or somebody that was hungry, they were more worried about crossing the T's and dotting the I's than the fact that the Son of God was standing right there with them. They studied Jesus's every move, just waiting for him to mess up or they'd even try and trip him up. kind of sounds like they were stalking Jesus. So how did Christians stalk Jesus? Well, if you think about it, many of us, we study him. We read the Bible. We study his word. We memorize what he did. We think of all the different stories that we read that have Jesus in it. We study what he said. And too often, we end up not doing anything that we know about him. We study the facts of Jesus, but we really don't live like Jesus lived. We only stalk Jesus. We have all these facts in our minds and we know what's right and what's wrong, but yet we don't change the world with the facts that we know. But a friend of Jesus, if we turn to John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." We see in these verses a friend is willing to lay down his life for his friend. And we know that Jesus later in his life actually did that for each and every one of us. Jesus called us friends. We weren't his servant. He had an intimate relationship with us as a friend. He wasn't a master. He came and he chose 12 disciples to share his life very closely with. And then he went out and shared his love with many other people as well, as a friend does. He also commands us to love one another. It doesn't say to only love your friends or your family. He commands us to love one another. You know, friends don't memorize things about the other person. You think of the old game show show of newlyweds where they would separate the couple and they'd ask them all kinds of questions, and you'd be surprised at how they couldn't answer those questions about their loved one. But oftentimes that's how we are with friends. We don't know those facts and those things about that friend. We just enjoy spending time with them. We just want to go and do things with them. We don't want to just sit around and exchange facts about what your favorite color is or this or that. We just experience life with our friends. And Jesus was doing that same thing with his 12 disciples and with all the other people that he came in contact with. He just showed them love. He experienced life with them. Mark 10:15 tells us we need to be like little children to enter the kingdom of God. I don't know too many children that know facts or a lot of verses that are memorized, especially if they're real young children. But yet we have to be like a child to enter the kingdom of God. Because I believe those children seen Jesus sitting there and they wanted to go and be touched by him because they could just sense the purity of Jesus. They didn't need to know all the facts, all the verses in scripture that supported it and said that the Messiah was coming. They could just sense it. They can sense when you are genuine. When you truly want to spend time with a child and just have fun with that child and experience life with that child, they can sense those things and they want to spend it with you as well. So many children nowadays don't have those experiences. They're left alone. Their parents don't seem to care. They're left to do whatever they want to. And so many of them are just hungry for attention. If we could just be like children and not memorize one another, but just be willing to show love to one another. If we read James chapter 2, verses 17 to 21, it points out two more keys. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But what wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? We can see here in these verses in James that even the devils or the demons know that Jesus is real. They know about Jesus. They know the facts. They know that he's the Son of God. Just knowing the facts and knowing the Bible is not enough. He also says here that by our works, our faith will be known. Doesn't save us by our works by any means, but when people see the works of the Lord in our lives, it's a true testimony to the people that Jesus and God is real. It is time that we stop stalking Jesus and start being a friend to Jesus and spread his love to everyone else. In Virginia here in this past week, they entered a bill that they are trying to pass that allows a woman to have an abortion for mental or physical reasons. Not written out what those mental or physical reasons are, just if they have one and the doctor agrees. They can even choose to have this abortion up to the point while the woman is in labor. And the governor of Virginia even takes it farther. While I was studying this and I opened up some news clips, he actually believes that the child should be able to be born, resuscitated, and if the parents and doctors choose to take the child's life, that would just be fine. This man is a politician, a governor, and also a pediatric doctor. We wonder what kind of a world we live in. I can't imagine any parent that would want to take the life of their child, no matter what kind of sickness or problem they have. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people that have been brainwashed and have been told that life doesn't really matter. We have taken the value out of human life. There's so many people that think there's more value or just as much value in an animal's life as there is in human life. So through all that, the biggest question, what are we going to do about it? We see these things come up. New York just passed bills to make it easier to have an abortion in New York. Virginia is trying to change theirs. What can we do? Do we stand and wait until it comes to our own state? Do we write to politicians and tell them how bad this is? I think they know how bad it is. I watched the interview or the discussion on the floor with the woman that entered this bill and how she had a hard time answering the questions. She just couldn't come out and say it outright. The guy wondered how long into the pregnancy could this take place, and she really didn't want to answer that. He kept pushing on, and eventually she admitted that, yeah, this woman, and if the doctor agreed, they could have the abortion at any time. There was other questions along the way that, oh, well, she just wasn't a physician. She couldn't really answer that, and they weren't available to be there that day. I don't think any of these politicians really think that it's good for an abortion. I don't think writing to them, for the most part, ever changes their minds. We could take a second option of hitting the streets, holding signs saying abortion is wrong, and protesting Virginia or these states. We can let people see our anger, that we're upset that innocent lives are being taken. We can take the option of doing nothing. Doesn't seem like much of an option. Many of us figure, though, well, it doesn't affect me. So why am I going to get involved? I'm just going to sit back and do nothing. Or I have the fourth option, and I think this is where things change as far as stalking Jesus or being a friend of Jesus. We can go out into this world and show the love of Jesus to the women that are thinking about an abortion is a way out of their situation. None of this would be taking place if it wasn't for the women that were in these situations that they think there's no way out. That they think the way out is to have an abortion. Where is the church that's going to stand up and show the love to these women, to these families that are being broken before they even have a chance? Are you willing to get involved and change the world one person at a time? Are you willing to take in a child that no one wants? Maybe to give that option to that woman that wants to have an abortion, but to take that child, to give them life. Do we show love to the woman that has already had an abortion and let her know that God forgives her for that the same as any other sins that we've had? Do we take time to be a father or a mother to the fatherless child? Or do we just want to go and hide in our safe places? Go to our own homes where it's safe and these things aren't threatening us? I believe that's an easy way out. I think really if we want to say that we have faith, it's time for the church to get out and do the hard work. To meet these people one-on-one, to be able to make a difference. If we truly feel that abortion is so wrong, what are we willing to do as Christians to stop it? Jesus, I believe, showed us how this works with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, verses 1 through 26. She was a Samaritan woman. She was an outcast in that day. A Jew would have nothing to do with a Samaritan. And that's the first thing right there. So many of these people are looked at as outcasts when it comes from the eyes of Christians. Not through Jesus' eyes, not through Scripture. Jesus and God loved each and every one of these people. It didn't matter that this woman was a Samaritan. It also didn't matter to Jesus that she had five husbands and she wasn't with any of them at this time. She was with someone else. None of that stuff mattered when Jesus was sitting there at the well and she came up. He asked her for a drink. And in those days, it was definitely not a thing for a Samaritan woman to draw water for a Jew. But Jesus reaches out to her, asking for this drink, not paying attention to the fact that she was a Samaritan. It didn't hold him back. Also, the facts of her life didn't hold him back either. He just showed God's love to her that day at the well. If you think about it, with Jesus, no one is an outcast. Whatever the sin people are living in, it is time that we stop, that we step up, and we put our faith to work and show the world the love of Jesus. Too many times, I think, Christians are seen for all the things that they are against, not for what we really should be for. And that's the love that God has for us. He loved us so much that he sent his only son to die on a cross for us. Jesus talked about the friend laying down his life for another friend. Are we willing to try and show that kind of love to the world? When we step outside of these doors into the world and into the workplace, when these discussions come about, do we address them with love? Or do we just argue about how stupid and foolish these other people are to do these things? We never know when we're talking to somebody else, and maybe the deal of an abortion comes up and we start to share how evil it is and things like that. But what if maybe that one in the workplace has already had an abortion? And she feels that you're just pushing her out farther and farther because of the mistake that she made. I've made a lot of mistakes through my years, and I'm glad that God hasn't pushed me out for any one of them. He stands there with his arms open wide, just waiting for me to come back and give me forgiveness once again. And I believe God does the same thing for every one of those women that have had abortions. He's still standing there with arms spread wide open, saying, come to me. I can give you peace. I can give you that water that you will never thirst again. Yes, you made a mistake, but I'll fix that mistake. You can continue on with your life. It's not the end. And in closing, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 9. Verses 37 and 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. There's a lot of souls to be led to Christ out there. There's a lot of opportunities that we have to share the love of Christ with people that have never seen it. They've never felt the true love that God has for them. I think there's more and more people that are out there looking for that love today than ever before. But unfortunately, I think a lot of them don't even know what they're looking for. They're just looking. But until we take the opportunity as Christians to show them that love, show them that friendship, one to another, whether it's the people that we come in contact on the street or the workplace, people in the church, our neighbors, it's time that we get our work clothes on and get out there and show the world God's love. I thank you for your attention this morning. I pray that this message would encourage you as it has encouraged me. And I would ask, Elroy, would you close us with a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this Sabbath day and these couple hours of worship. Thank you, Father, for our time together when we can just share your word. Thank you, young Brother Wayne, Father, for filling in for our pastor, Roger, in his absence. Oh, Father, we just pray that each one of us would not be stalkers, but that we be friends of you. That we would live our lives in a way that we can parallel the life of Christ who is here on this earth. Go with us now as we go to our respective homes, take each one safely, then bring us back next Sunday to another service, and we'll just give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' precious name.